Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The skies will be filled with snow tonight, several inches apparently, but clear the rest of the week. And as cold as it is, there's something about the night sky in the dead of winter. It feels clear, it looks brighter, and there are no mosquitoes joining us today. I thought about that. I thought, think, what's better about the sky? Joining us today to talk about.
I actually have a bug net, you know, that I wear when I'm.
When we have you out in the summer, we'll talk about that. You're listening to Tom Burns. He's here. He's the director of the Perkins Observatory. He's here today to talk to us about the winter sky, when it is clear, what you can see. Tom, thanks for coming on the show.
Always good to be here.
And as you know, listeners, this is our winter membership drive. Remember, your support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour, $2,500, and we can meet it with your help. Online pledges count as well. Go to WOSU.org and you can make that pledge through our secure server. Quick and easy. With a pledge of support at the $100 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book Exploring the Night Sky, brand new edition. It's aimed at novice stargazers to expand their repertoire beyond the Big and Little Dippers, which is about my repertoire until I started listening to Tom Burns. Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns is here with us today to help us with our stargazing. But first, you need the book, 1-866-897-9678, or go online at WOSU.org. And remember, a gift of $100. And our gift to you, Exploring the Night Sky, as your to say thank you for your generosity. Welcome again, Tom, to the show. It is snowing out. Thank you so much for coming all the way from Delaware.
Well, yes. The roads are a parking lot, basically, but it's moving along slowly out there. That's the weather report,
exactly.
If you were wondering.
I got
it's still rush hour out there on the roads, folks.
And I dare say it will be all day long.
That's right. So no stargazing tonight, probably, but...
What about that winter stargazing repertoire? I mean, how should you prepare to go out and do some winter stargazing?
Well, that's always a good question. As a matter of fact, you really need to prepare for this. And of course, layers are always important, and a hat, something to cover the ears. But here's the first rule, the most important rule of stargazing. The feet is the first to go. So wear a couple of layers of socks, and it's really important to have boots or shoes or something that get you as far off the ground as possible. I still have my old pair of moon boots. They're actually called that, but they have this thick layer on the bottom. And I have to tell you, you're standing there at that telescope at 10 degrees below zero for 8 hours, and you begin to feel the cold, icy hand of death reaching up from the ground into your feet.
So just dressed warmly.
Yeah, dress warmly, but especially take care of your feet and your hands. And a lot of stargazers have two pairs of gloves. One are kind of silk underlayers, and then they have a pair of gloves that they've actually cut the fingers off of so that they can handle the eyepiece, because that's important. You want to keep warm, but there's nothing like the sound of a $250 eyepiece hitting the ground.
Because your fingers.
To remind you of why you bought that eyepiece, but your children don't have shoes. You know? So.
Well, speaking of $250 eyepiece, or however much you spend on your binoculars or your telescope, doesn't the weather and the super cold temperatures hurt those kind of instruments?
It doesn't really hurt the instrument. It hurts your ability to use them. So a lot of people who observe from their backyards, for instance, and who have telescopes, don't keep them indoors. They keep them in the unheated garage or whatever, because you take a telescope out of the warmth of your house or your car and stick it out in the field to observe, and that poor mirror, which is figured, polished to an accuracy of 2/1,000,000 of an inch, needs to cool down, because as it's cooling down, that shape is changing. So for a couple of hours, Saturn, instead of having fabulous rings, is going to look like an evil fuzzy blob, and you really need to get your telescope out and leave it there in the cold for a while.
Like so, how long? Like hours? Or
it depends on the size okay. and the thickness of the mirror. A good, you know, thin mirrored telescope might take as many as a couple of hours to get cool. But to give you an idea of why we moved our old telescope out to Arizona, one of the reasons was it has such a big thick mirror that it would finally reach temperature equilibrium, oh, around dawn when it was too late. So you really, if you want good views, you really have to get the telescope out before you go out.
What about bringing it back in? Same deal? You don't want to necessarily bring it into a 80-degree
Yeah, if you do, then make sure you're going to get the telescope out a couple of hours. Or okay. in my case, if I'm driving out to the middle of nowhere, the telescope's in the back and I'm not turning on the heat okay. to the car. Sorry. I know a lot of people, they probably shouldn't be doing this because it ruins their binocular vision, who actually wear a patch over one eye if they're driving in the daytime, because they want one eye to already be ready for the dark.
Oh my
and, of
gosh.
Course, this could cause car accidents, and I don't recommend it. But when you get to your observing site and it's still daylight, it's good to wear a patch because it adapts that eye to the dark, and it's, that's always a good idea.
You're listening to Tom Burns. He's the Perkins Observatory Director. If you have a kid that was in school in the last probably 10 or so years, they probably know Tom. He was the fellow at the observatory when they went for their annual visit. And if and as far as I know, I told my son about it today, and he said he absolutely would listen. Tom is definitely somebody that if your kids are home from school today, this would be a perfect opportunity to plop him down in front of the radio. He is a familiar voice. If you can tell your children you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820, and you can tell them that we're going to have to take a few breaks here and there because it is our winter membership drive. The thank you gift this hour for WOSU's winter membership drive is the book Exploring the Night Sky, a perfect book for an adult and a child to use together to get to know the stars and the planets. It's our thank you gift for WOSU's winter membership drive this hour. The subtitle is The Equinox Astronomy Guide for Beginners, and it's designed to help anyone who has never been able to figure out stars beyond Orion's Belt. Adults will enjoy this book, and children will enjoy it as well. And mostly they'll enjoy working with it and learning about it together. Make a pledge of $100, and we send you Exploring the Night Sky. Please call 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We have $2,300 to go. Thank you very much. Let's meet the goal. Let's meet at this hour. $2,300 to go out of $2,500. That's not bad. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. Tom, what do you think of this book?
I think this book is fabulous. It was a bit dated. The last edition was 1986, but those of you familiar with it, it's now out in a new edition with updated information. And even if you have the old edition of the book, you got to call in and get it. But if you don't, note that this was written for young adults and makes a great gift for them. It'd be perfect for your 14-year-old, I have to say. But beyond that, just between you and me, who it's really written for are newbies, people who are really just starting out as stargazers and want to learn some basic constellations, want to find out what's in those constellations that they can observe with binoculars, and who want truly well-written and simple explanations of basic astronomical concepts. I was just reading the one on how stars are born, and I compare that with something I might read in a college-level astronomy book, and it's just so much more comprehensible. And it has what I consider to be one of the best sections of any astronomy book. It's called A Cosmic Voyage. It's 10 steps to the edge of the universe. So it starts one light second to the moon, and light minutes to the planets, and light hours to the edge of the solar system, and light years to the stars. And it just goes on like that and shows specific examples and helps you to understand in terms of time these great distances. Because let's face it, I don't understand how far away, oh, I don't know, a billion miles is to Saturn. I'm sorry, 1,000 is a little too much for me to comprehend. But I do understand an hour compared to a second. So I can understand the relationship, the distance to the moon, 1 second, to the distance to Saturn, about an hour. And that makes this book worth buying, just so that you can understand these basic
distances. As a true newbie, I actually can imagine 1,000, but I can't get around my arms around 1,000,000,000. But as a newbie, what I like about the book is the observations from the horizon. They have different examples of at different times of the year what the where the horizon, if it's western or southern or northern or whatever it is, and they'll show you can look into that sky. It's very simple and easy for me to understand. That is something that sometimes people go out and they look up in the sky and it doesn't matter. They just don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, and the emphasis is on you look for one constellation, like a part of a constellation like Orion's Belt, and you use that to find everything else in that direction. So, for example, if you look in the book, you'll discover that this time of the year, if you look toward the southern horizon, there's Orion. And there are those three bright, evenly spaced stars in the belt, and you can use those to point downward toward his hunting dog, Canis Major. How stupid was Orion? Orion wasn't very bright, okay? He was a hunter. No offense to hunters. He had a hunting dog. He named it Big Dog. That's my big dog. And if you look up and to the right, use those three stars as pointer, you find whom or what Orion is hunting, which is Taurus the bull, if you're going in the other direction. And Orion actually has his shield raised in front of him and his club raised above him, fighting Taurus the bull. And you go like that. And you find out there's a little tableau of constellations in that direction. And it's just that kind of simple but precise explanations that might actually get you to go outside and do this, as opposed to more complicated astronomy books, which are just simply more ornate in
yes.
their information, well, but difficult to follow.
And this one's small, too. That's another thing I like about it. This is our winter membership drive, and we're talking about a book that is our gift to you at the $100 level. It's called Exploring the Night Sky. It's aimed at novice stargazers to expand their repertoire beyond the Big and Little Dippers. And now I know where Vega is, by the way. I'll always know where Vega is. Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns is with us today to help with our stargazing. But if you have this book, it'll help a whole lot more. 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org and make that gift of $100. Pick up Exploring the Night Sky. And by the way, remember, Tom Burns is the guy that when kids are taken to the observatory for their class trips, he's the fellow that speaks with them. Bring your kids, have them listen to the radio right now because they will recognize Tom Burns' voice.
The voice, my wife says, that only dogs can hear.
If you would like to speak with the voice that only dogs can hear, give us a call at 614-292-8513. I obviously cannot remember two phone numbers in the same show, so I will write that down. Or you can call 1-866-897-9678 to make your pledge right now. Let's take a call right now from Jerry. Jerry, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Ms. Fisher. Mr. Burns, as Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet, now is the winter of our discontent.
Actually, that's Richard III, but that's okay.
Okay, yeah. I get him. It's been many, many years since I studied him, Mr. Burns, but I wanted two questions. One, man explained this to me many years ago, but he passed away last year at the age of 97. And there's so much brightness, so much light in all of the multitude of stars in the skies that it shouldn't get dark, but it does. And there's a theory, and I can't think of the name of it. Do you know that?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, there have been many books written on why the sky is dark. It shouldn't be dark. I mean,
right.
Beyond the stars, you also have a trillion galaxies. They're very far away, granted, but there are so many that the sky should be filled with light. There are a lot of different explanations. One is that in our Milky Way galaxy, there is a considerable amount of dust, and it absorbs a lot of that light. There aren't many dust particles, but you're looking at great distance, so that they tend to add up.
Right.
Beyond that, though, the simplest explanation is something called bum-bum science math complicated alert. The inverse square law, which means that you take an object and you, let's say you put a lantern a mile away. And that would mean it's, say, we'll call it 1 unit of brightness away. Then you put it 10 miles away. It isn't 10 times fainter. It's 10 squared fainter. It's 100 times fainter. So you take a star, which is very bright, and, oh, I don't know, make it a quadrillion miles away or 10 quadrillion miles away. And by the time it's so far away, its brightness, because of the – you have to square the distance away to get the diminution of brightness. It by the time it gets that far away, it's not very bright at all. That's how you can take something like the sun –
right. By the way,
and make it quadrillions of miles away, and all of a sudden it's a little speck in the sky.
Yeah, I thought this was a German scientist or astronomer whose name started with an O, but I can't think of it. But my other question, Mr. Burns, is, and I'll take the answer off the air, would you explain to all of your listeners the black hole as your erudition understands black holes?
Sure.
In the simplest possible terms.
Yes.
Thanks, Jerry, for your call.
As we like to call them at Perkins Observatory, black holes, funnels of doom.
And before we do that, though, if you want to learn more about black holes, maybe you can go to our gift to you at the $100 level.
Why, yes.
Okay. It is our winter membership drive, and at the $100 level, if you so pledge, our gift to you is Exploring the Night Sky, the Equinox Astronomy Guide for Beginners, and it's designed to help anyone who has never been able to figure out the stars beyond Orion's belt.
And there is a chapter on black holes in this fine, fine book, Exploring the Night Sky. And folks, I just wanted to mention, this book is so popular, I'm told by your assistant, Linda Taylor, that as of yesterday, 8 people, having gone online, had already pledged to get this book. So supplies are limited. No, they aren't, actually. Sorry, I just shifted into the hard sell.
All the books we need to go around for all the generous WOSU listeners.
Yes. If we use all the ones they have up, they can make
more. There's
more
where those came from. Call 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org to our secure server at WOSU.org and make your pledge now. Our thanks to Carol in Delaware, and thanks to Janice and David in Powell. I think we're down to about $2,300 maybe yet to go. Get on the phone, 1-866-897-9678, while you plop your kids down in front of the radio and have them learn a little something about black holes right now with Tom Burns, the director of the Perkins Observatory. Okay, Tom,
hey,
carry
and I
on.
Just wanted to say one more thing about the book. For you more advanced amateurs out there, this is a new edition of the book. It's much better. And furthermore, it would make a great gift for that 14-year-old or that adult in your life you're trying to get hooked on amateur astronomy. So come on, call in. Members of the Columbus Astronomical Society, call in and pledge.
614.
Because they won't let me on the radio anymore. Come on.
That's right.
Yeah. Now get a real astronomer. Come on, call in and
1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Tell all your friends and neighbors. This is a great book. And Tom, though, give us a little peep at what is a black hole in the simplest possible term.
A funnel of doom, yes. Well, what you have to do, you have to understand that when stars – a lot of people think that stars explode when they die. And if you think about it, they're already exploding. They're hydrogen bombs. What they do is collapse. So that if a star like our sun, which is a puny, pathetic yellow dwarf star, collapses, it forms a dense ball of material called a white dwarf, where a single teaspoon might weigh 16,000 pounds. But if you get a really big star, which can be thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of times the mass of the sun, when it collapses, weirdly, it gets smaller. Instead of being 4,000 miles wide, it might just be a few feet or a few hundred feet wide. And you take that much stellar material and crunch it down to such a very, very small size that a single teaspoon might weigh millions of tons. Well, this thing is going to have a lot of gravity, right, close up to it, so that if it tries to shine a little photon of light from its surface, as it is trying to do, even in its collapse state, the photon simply cannot escape, so that you look in that direction and what you see is nothing. A hole in space, as it were, where a star used to be. Now, of course, it's there, but it's kind of inescapably sealed itself off from the rest of the universe. Light can't get out. You can't see it. It might as well not be there in terms of that, in terms of visibility. So that's why it's called a black hole.
And there you have it. I can't help but think it's probably more interesting to hear you say it than to read about it.
It's a dead star. That's what it is. But it's a star that was really big. And the irony is that when you have stars like that, they die, live and die very quickly, so that the sun, which putters along burning its or exploding its hydrogen fuel into helium as a hydrogen bomb, might last 10 or 11 billion years. But stars that form black holes tend to be massive, live fast, die young, leave a beautiful supernova, and a star that forms a black hole, in fact, might form a supernova because material collapses down into it, it explodes back out. But in the end, it's kind of pathetic, really, because it's lost all contact with the universe.
Kind of like Elvis.
Yeah.
I feel like you're describing Elvis. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher.
The Howard Hughes of astronomy. That's right.
Tom Burns, director of Perkins Observatory, is on the air with me right now. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on WOSU 820. It's listener-supported WOSU 820 NPR News. Joining us, Tom Burns. We're talking about Exploring the Night Sky. It's a book. It's a gift. It's what we're talking about. It's a great book, and we're offering it here during our winter membership drive. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $100 and pick up your very own copy of this stargazing guidebook. Tom is here today to support WOSU and to tell you about Exploring the Stars. Our thank you gift, again, is Exploring the Night Sky. You can get that gift for a pledge of $100. But, you know, of course, give whatever you can afford. We appreciate anything. We know everyone comes from all different places, and we're all going somewhere differently, and we all can afford different levels. Whatever level you can afford, we appreciate it. I want you to know, whether it's a dollar a day or a dollar a week. 1-866-897-9678. You can go to WOSU.org and you can make that pledge right now. You can also go to WOSU.org and listen to All Sides with Dan Fisher online.
And I'd just like to say one thing about this. When our hour is over, I'm going to go out into the hall, get out my trusty computer, and I'm going to pledge myself, renew my membership, because by gosh, I want a copy of the new edition of this book.
He's fawning over this copy of this. You know, he's kind of dog-earing it. I may just have
pretty
to give
pictures,
it to,
too.
Just have to give it to
yeah.
him before we're done.
Mars.
You know, and Tom is, he's a font of information. Please give us a call at 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org and ask them anything you want. Tom, you're on the air right now. You want to talk about the Hubble.
Good morning. Yes, I'd like to ask Tom his reaction to the article and photos in the February National Geographic about the Hubble telescope. Have you seen that, Tom?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
Spectacular photos, typical of National Geographic, isn't it?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, one thing you have to give National Geographic credit for, I have seen all of these images that they do. They're often astronomy pictures of the day, which you can get online. But I have to tell you, folks, in the end, you can go online as much as you want, but a well-printed, full-color photo that you can hold in your hands, as you see in National Geographic, is just this particular issue is just gorgeous, and you should go out and get a copy if you don't have one already.
Can I ask a follow-up to that?
Yeah. Sure, Tom.
One short sentence in the article says, in its final years, Hubble is seeing back almost to the beginning of time. Are they going to I guess they want to, they will be able to get back far enough eventually to know how the world began, the Earth began. Is that it?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing. A telescope like the Hubble can see very close to the beginning of the universe. But if you want to see even closer, look all around you, because the signature of that is in the microwave radiation that's bouncing all around space and the atmosphere. But what we're doing when we look, what the Hubble does is it takes very deep images of very small patches of sky. So imagine that you are looking at a patch of sky that's no bigger than the head of a pin held at arm's length. And what the Hubble does is take image after image, long exposure image of that tiny patch of sky. And in that patch of sky, it sees 30,000 galaxies. Now, you look at one of those galaxies and you realize it's very faint and it's very old, and it formed very soon, perhaps just millions of years after the universe was born. And so you see what those galaxies were like at the very beginning of the universe from our point of view. One thing we cannot see is how the universe itself formed. We can see back to about a billionth of a second after the universe formed, or figure out what was happening a billionth of a second after the universe formed. But one small problem is that at that point, light had not actually been created yet. So beyond that, we're in trouble. But from that, we have to intuit. I mean, what you do is you look at what the universe looks like now. You have a bunch of stuff in the form of galaxies that's all flying away from everything else. And what you have to assume, if I threw a stick of dynamite into a room, everything would fly away from it, that what you do is imagine what the universe must have been like before stuff started flying away. And what you do is simply understand that that must have been a very small thing that is getting really big as we speak.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate your answer.
Pleasure.
Thanks for the call, Tom. You know, we're talking about such extreme distances. They're kind of unimaginable, and the time it would take to travel these distances is too amazing to imagine and too amazing to conceive. However, the time it would take to make that quick phone call to WOSU and make that pledge is just 2 minutes. And I've timed it before. I can tell you that. I've timed it. As a matter of fact, it took less than 2 minutes one time when I called in, and I kind of resented that because I thought they were going to want to sit and talk with me a little bit longer, and they didn't. They wanted to get me off the phone, take the next pledge. 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678. To make that pledge right now, give what you can at the $100 level. Our thank you gift to you will be the book Exploring the Night Sky. It's a good book for anyone who is a novice stargazer, from child to adult. I've looked at it. I enjoy it. And I will be reading it to prepare for future hours of chit-chat
Me
with
too.
Tom
yes,
Burns.
Right.
if you we got $2,000 to go, and think about it, just about 21 minutes to go. So give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. 26 minutes, sorry. Thank goodness for my producer. Thank you, Amy. 26 minutes to go. Obviously, time has lost all meaning for me. 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. Go to our secure server. You can make your pledge online at the $100 level. Once again, our gift to you is Exploring the Night Sky. We appreciate everything everybody does to help support WOSU in our time of need. And that is the winter membership drive.
And I just like to say that in case you were afraid you were going to miss something, I'm just going to sit here quietly for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well,
I better not do that.
Well, we wonder. I mean, if you're worried that you're going to miss something, remember, you can listen to it again tonight at 7 o'clock. So go ahead, make that quick call, I'll try to stall Tom.
All my answers are wrong for the next 5 minutes, so you don't want to hear this anyway.
And once you make the call, or once you make that pledge online, you can just sit back and relax and listen to everything Tom Burns, director of Perkins Observatory, has to say. And just want to remind you, if the kids are at home right now and they're above the age of the third grade, or the age group of third grade, they probably met Tom if they've gone to the Perkins Observatory, so they might get a big kick out of hearing him on the air right now. If you would like to go grab them, plop them down, then go get the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or give us a go online to WOSU.org. Also, you can give us a call to talk to Tom, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org. What a great little exercise to have your child come up with a question for Tom Burns.
That would be fabulous.
Because I don't think there's anything that Tom really likes to do more than teach about the stars to children.
There is nothing better than having a bunch of first or second or third graders at the observatory, I have to tell you, because they get up to the telescope finally if they're coming at night and see Saturn for the first time. And the reactions, well, every one of them is unique. And every one of them makes you want to go out and do it the next night. It's just a fabulous experience. And also, the questions are also – every grade level has its unique kind of set of questions.
How do they evolve or devolve?
Well, it's interesting because when you're talking first graders, they're really into aliens, you know, ETs. So they're always going to ask, are there any ETs out there? And by the time you're getting to the third or fourth grade, the big question really is about black holes. Oh, man, third graders are fascinated by black holes. Just because they really are one of the truly weird places in the universe from our perspective as human beings. So, and it's funny because by the time you get to something like the eighth grade, people are asking more serious questions like how stars are born and die and what happens to red giants and things like that.
So. You know, February isn't much of an astronomical event month, apparently. You can see Mars very well.
Oh, Mars is looking great right now, yes, briefly.
What else can we see in the sky that's
looking sharp right now? The object of choice for any telescope is the planet Saturn. And I have to say, amateurs have been looking forward to this apparition of Saturn because last year at this time, Saturn's rings were practically edge-on, which meant Saturn was really boring to look at. It looked like a dot with a line through it, basically. But now, as happens every, I think, 8.5 years or 7.5 years or something like that, the rings are starting to expand again. And over the next 7 years or so, they'll get wider and wider until you can see them really well. But they're looking really great right now. And all you have to do is to go out and look in the general direction of the east around 11 o'clock or midnight, and there it will be shining yellow. I think it's in the constellation. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what constellation it's in. I thought it was in Leo, but it has migrated out of it. So look off the way off the tip of Leo's nose. Let's see. And there will be the planet Saturn looking good.
Looking good. The rings are expanding.
Yeah, and the thing is, now this is one of those things I have to tell you. I'm sorry, it's moved to the constellation Virgo. But in any case, it's you're going to need a telescope to see it. Saturn may be huge. The rings, to give you an idea of what we're looking at here, the rings are about a little less than 250,000 miles from one end to the other. You could put them in between Earth and Moon, and they would just fit. But it's also 1,000,000,000 miles away. What do you want? It takes the light an hour to get here, approximately. So you're going to need a telescope. Don't have a telescope? Time for the plug.
Gee, where could you go? Where could you go, Tom?
You could come to one of our Friday night programs at Perkins Observatory. And yes, we're going to be start observing the planet Saturn really soon. So we do that every Friday night. Program start at 8. Call to get tickets. Don't just come up because we are often full, especially when Saturn is in the sky. And we're going to give you a view of the planet Saturn with the second largest telescope in Ohio that I guarantee you will never forget. And oh, by the way, that third grader will never forget it either, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about and how long I've been doing this. About 6 months ago, I had somebody walk up to me at a play, all nicely dressed in a tie, 18-year-old, and he said, I just want you to know that I went to Perkins Observatory when I was in the second grade. And we saw Saturn, and you talked about the stars, and I just want you to know, in the fall, I'm going to be going to Stanford, and I'm going to major in astronomy.
Wow. Oh.
My heart skipped a beat, I have to tell you, because that's what we're trying to do here, folks. And that's what you should be trying to do. Get those kids before Xbox takes its inexorable hold around their neck and get them tuned in to the sky. And you can do that with the book that you're going to
I'm going to tell you all about this book. Yeah.
And you could do it by coming to Perkins Observatory, and you can do it by getting a $3 Edmund Planisphere and going out and teaching that young one the constellations. If you can't find the constellations yourself, well, you got the book.
And the book is easy to understand.
And the trip to Perkins, I mean, we'll teach you how to teach them about the sky.
You can have that book. It's called Exploring the Night Sky as our gift to you for your pledge of support at the $100 level. We thank you so much for all your support throughout the year. Now is the time. It's the winter membership drive to show your support again. We rely on our listeners. It is the foundation of our budget. We need your help. I'm trying to think about some kind of way to relate it to a black hole, but maybe we would collapse without our listener support.
That's right. Your donation will be sucked into the black hole of WOSU's debts.
Except that we will admit as much light as there are donations. We bring you everything we bring to you depends on the donations that you send our way. You can give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or you can go online to our secure server at WOSU.org. We have $1,900 to go in just about 18 minutes. I want to say thanks to Leslie in Westerville and Melissa in Columbus. We appreciate your support. At any level, we appreciate your support. Every kid in the Columbus area probably, we hope, has been able to go out to Perkins Observatory and learn from Tom Burns. He's on the air right now to help us help you get the kind of information, get the kind of programming that you care about every day.
I have to say, call in because this service is unique in Central Ohio. I listened to a report yesterday on immunization. It was locally produced. It must have lasted 10 or 15 minutes. Where else are you going to get that on the radio or on the television? Even it was more extensive than newspaper articles I've seen on the subject. And, you know, I listen to this because I tend to stay up a lot. I listen to it from BBC World Service to BBC World Service sometimes. And I have to tell you, the loss of this station would be a great loss. And that's what you should think about. I mean, if you have 50 or 100 bucks, call in, because a lot of donations like that are what help keep this place
Every
going.
Little bit helps. We care about our listeners. We hope our listeners care about us. Show your support for our winter membership drive. Call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. We still have $1,900 to go. Let's start nipping this in the bud. With a pledge of support at the $100 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book Exploring the Night Sky. It's aimed at novice stargazers of any age. Children can enjoy it with their parents. Parents can enjoy it with their children. It's a great, great book. It's a brand new edition, all nice and shiny and new and up to date. Tom approves. It's Tom Burns' seal of approval book. So give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. We have $1,800 to go. Thank you very much for that last donation. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks for showing that you care about WOSU 820.
Hey, you know what? Just because I want people to call in, I'll throw in, including the book, a couple of free tickets to one of our Friday night programs at the Observatory. No extra charge. Come on. It'll give you a chance to get up to the observatory.
Wow, a couple
for free
tickets. And tickets cost?
$7 each for adults.
That's really a great deal. That is so kind of you, Tom. Thanks a lot. Tom Burns, director of Perkins Observatory, is going to throw in free tickets. Let's get those pledges in at 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. We have $1,800 to go in just about 16 minutes. We appreciate your support all year long. We need your support. We need you to show your support right now. Tom, let's talk a little. I wanted to know what's ahead in 2010 as far as the sky goes. Anything cool coming up?
Eh, not really. just
the usual,
just
cool.
The usual stuff. But realize, from my point of view, I mean, there's probably some solar eclipse in Kenya or something. But for, as far as Central Ohio goes, I don't. There might be a lunar eclipse. I don't think so, though. But the thing to realize is that the sky is spectacular, even without any special events. So you'll see the usual round of planets. And the usual round of constellations, and you can make it special by, instead of trying to observe from your backyard if you live inside the city limits, driving to one of those truly dark places in southern Ohio. I like the Zaleski State Forest and the Wayne National Forest especially, although I like Shawnee State Forest as well. You go down there, you park in one of those parking lots that are designed for backpackers, et cetera, get out your binoculars or your telescopes and observe the night sky the way it was really meant to observe. That'll make that year special because and this is really important. We're talking about kids today because the book is really designed for young adults. I guarantee you, for many of the children who live in urban areas, and that's most of us now, have never seen the sky. And when you consider that for thousands of generations before us, this generation that's growing up right now, everybody saw the sky the way it was. If you're wondering why we're losing our spiritual sense, why we're losing our sense of awe and wonder at the universe and the world around us, it's because they have been denied that. So get the book, get another book, get in your car, take some kid out to show them what the universe, what their universe really looks like.
Just in it, just plain brown wrapping. It's more beautiful than anything you can ever imagine just in a normal year, whatever a normal is for the cosmos.
Right. That's right. That will make this year and that moment special for them, and I might add, for you too. Actually, the main thing that's happening this year is that Mars is at its closest, and it is right now. So if you happen to have a telescope, look at it. Normally, Mars looks like a tiny red dot. This year, it looks like a slightly larger tiny red dot.
I can pick it out of the sky without really out even trying now, so I'm kind of proud of myself.
It looks kind of reddish, doesn't it?
Yes, it looks a little reddish, and if I'm not sure about that, when I look at it, I start to compare it to the other stars and say, oh, no, yes, indeed, that is a redder star.
In that regard now, if you look at it in binoculars, all you're going to see is a red dot. But if you happen to look at it tonight, it's in the constellation
through
Cancer.
Through the 6 inches of snow.
Yes. But right. Or there the next night or the night after that, whenever it's clear. You'll see in your binoculars a little fuzzy patch next to, or you might see with the naked eye, a little fuzzy patch next to it. Look at it with binoculars. You might even be able to get them in the same low power field. This is a gorgeous view, by the way. And you will see that little fuzzy patch explode into a couple dozen stars. It's the star cluster sometimes called the Beehive or Praesepe star cluster and is easily visible in binoculars. And that's another point to make about this book is that it's going to help you to find stuff like that. That is, it always amazes me that there's this obvious stuff up there in the sky. But since people don't learn the sky anymore, of course they don't. They can't see it from inside the city. That they don't know about stuff like that. And it's pretty obvious once you get a pair of binoculars on it.
We are at $1,700 to go in just about 12 minutes. 1-866-897-9678. Let's make this goal this hour. Our gift to you for $100 pledge at the $100 pledge level is Exploring the Night Sky. It has Tom Burns's seal of approval. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. With a membership to WOSU at the $100 level, you will be supporting public radio and supporting all sides. And you can get your own copy of Exploring the Night Sky. Adults will enjoy the book. Children will enjoy the book. It'll hook you on astronomy. And if you got a telescope for the holidays or you bought one for your child or grandchild, this can help you understand what you gave them to learn about. So the text in the book is clear and helpful. It's great for stargazers of any age. There's gorgeous color paintings. Some photographs accompany the text. There's a page of advice on choosing and using binoculars and telescopes as well. If you would like to speak with Tom right now, he's here. He's waiting, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Kelly. Kelly writes, I would love to know the reasons why objects such as planets and moons are generally round in shape as opposed to being square-shaped or elongated.
Yes. The short answer is gravity. And by the way, just a little handy hint. I think I've given this one before on the air. I can't remember. If you're ever taking an astronomy course and you don't know the answer to a question on the test, just write down gravity. It's the answer to like most of the questions in astronomy. So if you have, say, a blob of material, which is what you get. I mean, things gather together by gravity, and what you get to start with is kind of a hot blob as the stuff kind of crashes together. If you don't have enough mass, that is, you don't have enough stuff, you don't have enough gravity, and it ends up being a blob. That's why some of the asteroids in the asteroid belts, for example, are unevenly shaped. They just take on whatever shape they get because the material was rotating to start with, and you get elongation and weird stuff like that. But if there's enough material, gravity tends to pull things toward the center evenly, so you end up with a sphere because that's what stuff likes to do because of gravity. And of course, that hot liquid sphere turns into a cold solid sphere, and that's why you get planets and moons and things of that sort end up being spherical in shape.
Our goal this hour was $2,500. We only have $1,600 to go. Thanks to Jeffrey and Kelly and Gahanna, and thanks to John and Kathy in Westerville, and also thanks to Melissa in Columbus for your support for WOSU. We have just 8 minutes to go and $1,600. That's two calls a minute. The calls only take about 2 minutes. I think that all works out to meeting our goal for this hour. On All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest today is Tom Burns. He's the director of Perkins Observatory. We're talking about the cosmos.
Space.
The final frontier. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. And for your pledge at the $100 level, you will be supporting public radio, supporting All Sides with Ann Fisher, and you can get your own copy of Exploring the Night Sky. And Tom Burns, director of Perkins Observatory, has offered to throw in a pair of tickets to the observatory as well for your pledge from now until the end of the hour. 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org to make that pledge online. 1-866-897-9678. Give us a call. Make the goal. Help us make that goal. We are down to $1,600 to go and 7 minutes to go to do it in. 1-866-897-9678. Give what you can. But at the $100 pledge level, Exploring the Night Sky can be yours, along with a pair of tickets to Perkins Observatory. If you would like to speak with Tom Burns, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Tom, what are the advantages of – well, one thing I wanted to ask you about as far as the snow goes, does that affect the light in the sky or how much you can see in the sky?
You know, it really does, especially if you're observing in the city. I can tell you that if it had been clear tonight and we'd been using the telescope up there, it's the light pollution from Columbus – bounces off the ground. And if the ground is covered with snow, snow makes an excellent mirror. So we're not looking toward Columbus with the telescope. We just can't, because the light dome from the bounce of the light will reach halfway up to the top of the sky. Whereas if you get a day without snow and low humidity, we can barely tell that Columbus is there at all. It's just one of those Things you have to live with in the winter, I suppose.
The snow will melt, though.
All the more reason, if you can find a place to get to with the streets plowed, to get out way outside the city during the winter, because you're going to get the best views. Wear heavy socks, though, because you don't want to freeze out there.
So even though there might be more snow around, there will be less light to be reflected by the snow.
That's exactly right. No light pollution is always a good thing, winter or summer.
We're down to $1,400, Tom.
Hey.
$1,400 to go and about 5 minutes left to make this goal.
If I had my cell phone with me, I'd call right now. I guess I can't. Oh,
and
sorry.
That number, he's not allowed to have his cell phone in here anymore. Too many people calling him all the time. 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Show your support for WOSU 820, NPR News, and also All Sides with Ann Fisher. Show people that this is what you listen to. This is what you care about. WOSU wants to hear from you. We care about what you think. We want to know what you think. Give us a call and tell our volunteers that are waiting for your call right now at 1-866-897-9678 what you like about WOSU. Make your pledge now. Anything you can give, we appreciate. We know these are the days, and these two shall pass. So for now, give what you can. We appreciate it. At the $100 level, our thank you gift to you will be your own copy of Exploring the Night Sky. It's a brand new edition. Just came out, I think, last spring. And we've been talking about it all hour with Tom Burns, the director of Perkins Observatory. You have to call for your ticket. If you want those tickets to Perkins, you have to call right now. We have 4 more minutes left. Not next hour. Not only while time is in the building will these tickets, will that offer for tickets to Perkins be in effect. 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. We have a secure server. Happy to take your pledge online at WOSU.org. We have time for one more call. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I wanted you to explain exactly, I believe, what happens every 65,000 years according to the Maya calendar and what the movie 2013 was made of, so people understand exactly what is happening in our galaxy, our universe.
Yes, the Mayans had this very complicated rhythm based on a very accurate calendar. Trouble is nobody is sure exactly when that calendar begins, but it is supposed to end with an apocalypse. And a lot of people online, you know, the Zeta Talk types.
I had a show about it.
Are speculating that it's going to come in 2012 and based on a rather limited knowledge of the Mayan calendar. And I would just like to say the world is not going to end in 2012. It's going to end next year in 2011, and you can sell all your stock. It's not going to happen, all right?
And while the world is still here,
right,
you can observe the stars.
I just like to say that if a giant asteroid does come crashing toward the Earth, we're going to open up the observatory right before it hits. Tickets will be $10,000 each. And for a couple of precious days, our observatory will be the best funded observatory in the world.
Thanks to Kevin in Mount Vernon. Thanks to Victoria in Columbus and also Joseph in Columbus and Cynthia in Dublin. Thank you. We have $900 to go in 2 minutes. That is 9 $100 pledges. And with that pledge, with a $100 pledge, you'll get your own copy of Exploring the Night Sky. And for the next 2 minutes, Tom's offer still stands. 2 tickets to Perkins Observatory with your pledge. Now we're down to $800. We have a minute and a half to go. 1-866-897-9678. If you pick up the phone right now, it'll count, even though we have less than 2 minutes to go. It'll only take you just about 2 minutes to make this pledge. 1-866-897-9678. And you know, sometimes when you have the tickets in hand, then you go do it. Then you go. That's the way it'll work. If you order right now, make your pledge right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. Make that pledge for at the $100 level, and we will give you, as our gift, Exploring the Night Sky. It's approved. It's got the seal of approval of Tom Burns, director of Perkins Observatory. It's a brand new edition. It's nice and shiny and beautiful pictures and all updated and everything. It hadn't been... haven't had a new print since 1986,
I think.
So down to $800. We have you pick up the phone right now. You'll still get those tickets. 1-866-897-9678. Tom, I got to say a quick goodbye. Thank you so much for being with us today.
See you later.
Hope you see you in the coming months as we explore the night sky. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. And streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television, and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU public media.